The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. The child Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and answers. And when his parents saw them, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I don't imagine there are very many families that don't have a story or two about a lost child. What parent hasn't experienced, if only for a brief moment, the terror of thinking that a son or daughter is missing? It gets the adrenaline going, that's for sure. All the more so if it takes place far from home. And a quick search confirms that the child is truly gone. That's where the first half of today's gospel takes us. Jerusalem, during the Passover. There would have been people everywhere. Think of Times Square on New Year's Eve in a normal year. Passover was one of the pilgrimage festivals of Judaism, a time when every Jewish male who was able was expected to be in the holy city. Estimates are that in Jesus' day, Passover pilgrims swelled Jerusalem to 3 or 4 times its normal population. It was a time of joyous celebration, remembering, in a sense, reliving how the Lord had claimed them and their ancestors as his own people, freeing them from slavery in Egypt and leading them out to the promised land. It probably wasn't the first time Jesus had been in Jerusalem for this feast. Luke writes that Mary and Joseph participated every year. This, however, was the first time Jesus would have taken his place as one of the men of Israel. At 12 years of age, he was no longer considered a child. Luke doesn't write anything to us about the celebration of the festival itself. Instead, he focuses on what happened when the feast was ended. It was a 3 or 4 day walk from Jerusalem back to Nazareth. Most pilgrims seem to have traveled with relatives and neighbors. It was good to have company on the trip and also safer. Lone travelers were easy prey for bandits on the road. It's clear that Jesus hadn't given Mary and Joseph reason to keep him on a short leash. He was always well-behaved. They trusted that he was somewhere in the group of pilgrims, and they could connect with him when they stopped for the night. as they asked, "Have you seen Jesus?" They must have experienced a rising panic as they kept hearing the same answer. No, no one had. And they were a full day's journey from where they had last seen him. Where could he be? Why isn't he with us? What could have happened? Dread of what these answers might be must have dogged Mary and Joseph as they hurried back to Jerusalem. I expect that they checked the ditches and ravines as they went, dreading what they might see. He could have been anywhere. After 3 days, Luke reports, they found Jesus in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. And he adds, all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Where would you expect to find a 12-year-old boy, a visitor to a big city with people from across the Roman Empire and lots of hustle and bustle? In Bible class this morning, someone suggested at the video arcade. It doesn't seem that the temple had been the first place Mary and Joseph looked. But when they did, there Jesus was, with the teachers of Israel, discussing theology. And at the age of 12, Jesus was holding his own. Little did those teachers know that before them was the Word of God incarnate. He could ask them questions that had never crossed their minds, share insights they had never perceived, connect dots that they didn't even know existed. On that day, the scholars of Israel became students of a 12-year-old as they learned from God himself in human flesh. If those who heard Jesus were amazed at his understanding and his answers, that only begins to express the reaction of Mary and Joseph. They were astonished when they saw him, Luke writes. Others marveled that a 12-year-old boy had such understanding of the things of God. Mary and Joseph were astonished that Jesus, whom they knew and loved, whom they clothed and fed, who had played in their yard and done his chores around the house, their son Jesus was at home in this august company, participating as if it were the most natural thing in the world, as if this were where he belonged. Luke reports, his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." Hers seems a relatively mild rebuke after 3 days of growing anxiety. But Jesus' response to her is striking. He says, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" It's as if he had said, "I'm surprised you didn't know exactly where I was. There's nowhere else I could have been." And note how he describes it, "my Father's house." Mary had said of Joseph, "Your father and I have been searching." But Jesus' response is a gentle correction. He had been in the temple of God, his father, conversing concerning his father's business. Luke writes that they did not understand this saying that he spoke to them. I think, though, that we should be a bit cautious not to give too little credit to Mary and Joseph. Though they didn't understand the saying, they had to know that it involved who Jesus was. Almost 13 years had passed since the angel Gabriel had announced to Mary that she would bear the Son of God. Joseph had heard in a dream that Mary's pregnancy was the result of the Holy Spirit. The words of the shepherds when he was born, the prophecy of Simeon and praise of Anna, the visit of the Magi and the warning to flee to Egypt, all of these they would have recalled as they heard Jesus' response. And they would have known that it had to do with who he was and why he had come. So along with all of these other things, these events and sayings, Mary treasured up these things also in her heart. It's somewhat curious to hear that after this, Jesus went down with Mary and Joseph and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Not another word in Scripture for some 18 years until Jesus presents himself before John for baptism. So why report this brief episode? What's its significance? What does it mean? It certainly shows, contrary to some early heresies, that Jesus knew who he was and why he had come long before he began his public ministry. Beyond this, it also helps to warn us against mistaking what Jesus is about and where he can be found. Like Mary and Joseph, it's easy for us to imagine that Jesus should follow the agenda that we've set out for him. We expect certain things, and if he doesn't meet those expectations, it's easy to think that he's the one who's wandered off. Think of the times when you've asked the question, why? Most often it comes when you've assumed God ought to do things in a certain way and have discovered that's not the way they've gone. So where is Jesus now? Where should we search that we may find him? As always, he's in his Father's house and about his Father's business. The time would come when Jesus would again disappear, and for 3 days would be gone. But then on the third day, would rise from the dead and reappear. At Emmaus, his disciples would recognize him in the breaking of the bread. Then they would recall how on the road their hearts had burned within them, while he opened to them the scriptures. In the locked room, the apostles would recognize him, as he absolved them, saying, "Peace be with you." And then as he showed them his body, his hands and his feet, and his side where the blood and water had poured out. Where is Jesus now? Where should we search for him that we may find him? It's as it was before. He's here in his Father's house, going about his Father's business. He comes to us in the Holy Scriptures, the Word incarnate presenting himself in the words of Scripture to enlighten us with the knowledge of salvation. He still speaks peace to us in holy absolution. "I forgive you all your sins." He's present at the font, as with simple water connected with his word and used according to his command, he accomplishes his promise. He's washed a great host of sinners clean in this holy flood, each one adopted and welcomed as God's own beloved child. And so, if you can say, "I am baptized," you can also say, "I am forgiven. I am saved. I am clothed with Christ's righteousness.
I'm a child of God, and so also an heir of heaven. And for his brothers and sisters forgiven and redeemed, he comes also at the altar, in and with the bread and wine, giving his true body and blood, coming to you on your tongue and down your throat with forgiveness. He joins with you here, so that he is in you and you are in him, strengthening you in faith toward God as well as in love toward one another. And he goes with you from here in his word that echoes through the week for you, forgiveness, life, salvation, by my death, for you. Isaiah invites, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So search for Jesus and find him in his precious and powerful word, in the water of holy baptism, in the forgiveness of holy absolution, in the body he gave and the blood he shed on the cross for you, for your forgiveness and life. His body and blood, which he now gives to you week after week with the bread and wine of his Holy Supper. Jesus is here in his Father's house for you, going about his Father's business, that is, your forgiveness, your salvation. Here he freely gives you everything that you need. He saves you. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.